I don't like that. Sophisticated man, that's who I am. I walk around, I throw. I look to the left, I look to the right. And when you look back at me, and I said, no, you're right.
But when you live, in the spirit, which is what the problem is now, we don't recognize that we have both physical and spiritual natures.
That's already blessed to you, and the energy that's already here for you, you know, because you are an energy being and you come from an energy, perfect energy source. So all of this stuff is available for you for your benefit.
The Transform Live Show. With your host, Reverend Dr. Marcus Harvey. For more information, visit TransformUBroadcast.com. TransformUBroadcast.com. Visit RealMarcusHart.com for the host information. Enjoy the show. Let's go.
Hello, my people. We are back again. And today we have an awesome and exciting gift. Yes, we are in for a special treat today. And the best part about it is this is season two. So it's going to be exciting throughout this whole entire season. And what better way to kick it off with someone who's going to offer us some very motivating and inspirational and life-changing information. Our guest today is a well-known fitness and nutrition expert and the best-selling author of Beating Sugar Addiction for Dummies. Dan has been featured on CNN's Fit Nation, The Dr. Phil Show, Self Magazine, Reader's Digest, and a host of other media outlets. Can I get a hey now for that? I'm talking about no other than himself, Dan DeFizio. Hey, Dan, are you there with me?
Hello, Dr. Marcus. Thanks for asking me to come on the show. This is great.
Oh, man, it's a pleasure. We are very humbled to have you. You are just an awesome person.
What an honor to be able to kick off season two.
Oh, man, I'm rubbing my hands right now. It's exciting. So Ben, you know, I got a couple questions for you. First of all, you know, they heard me rabble about you and just introduce you, but in your own words, can you just give us a little snapshot of who you are?
Sure thing. My name is Dan DeFizio, and I have been in the fitness and nutrition field for about 25 years now. So I'm starting to learn what I'm doing. You know, I've got thousands of people under my belt, and after you help a few thousand people, you start to recognize some patterns and really start dialing in your plans to be able to help people. So I primarily work with people in a flexible nutrition system to help people with stress eating and chronic yo-yo dieting. You know, people who are on again, off again with trying to eat healthy and exercise and work out. The back and forth stuff is just killing people. So I try to get them dialed in to become consistent.
Wow, that's awesome. And I can't help but hear that you are making a name for yourself helping people get off sugar and stop stress eating. What exactly led you into that specialty?
Well, this specialty really found me instead of me seeking it out. You know, when I started working with people trying to improve their health and their fitness and nutrition, it was 1993. So I've been at this probably longer than some of the listeners have been alive, actually, or their entire life. And it became clear to me very early on that sugar addiction, carboholic behavior, stress eating, all this kind of stuff was really a problem for a lot of people. So I started working on some methods and some programs and some coaching methodology around this kind of behavior, and it was really effective. You know, I've really helped a lot of folks with this type of eating behavior, you know, trying to steer their nutrition towards a sustainable and realistic system to help get them off sugar, help stay away from stress eating and junk food and that kind of stuff. So after a while, because I write a lot of things, I've got a number of books out, I have a ton of articles in magazines and stuff like that. So after a while, the people who publish the Dummies books came across some of my stuff, and they called me up,
right.
And they said, hey, we want you to do a book for us. So we batted around a couple ideas, and we came up with the with a book on sugar addiction, how trying to help people eat less sugar. So Beating Sugar Addiction for Dummies was born.
Awesome. And it's amazing, man, that you are doing this type of work. 2008, the obesity rate, you know, according to the American Medical Association, was 32.2%, and it has jumped to 35% for all males in 2016 reported. And for women, it was 35.5%, and now it's at 40.4%. Can your program help these people who may be struggling from obesity?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's what I do on a day in and day out basis, is I help people, teach them how to eat well. It's not a diet. It's not a temporary program. It's not one of these 21-day detox things. It's a sustainable system of healthy nutrition. And you lose weight, and you eat real food instead of junk food, and it works great for just about everybody. So you're exactly right, Marcus, about the obesity rise. It's alarming. You know, I think we as a society know more about nutrition and know more about science and medicine and health than we ever have known in the history of mankind, and our health is worse than ever. So it's not the knowledge, you know, it's not knowing what you are supposed to do that is the problem. It's the behavior that is the problem. It's like, what are you doing on a day in, a day out basis? And that's how I approach stuff.
Yeah, man. And you're so spot on, you know, and like I've been discussing this with other people, and, you know, but what stands out most about you is that you mentioned sugar a lot. So what is it about sugar that is so addictive?
Well, sugar is a great, easy thing for people to reach for when it comes to stress eating and junk food urges and stuff like that. Sugar is very addictive as a substance just because it hits the, I don't want to get too complicated with brain chemistry and stuff like that, but the chemical reward system in your brain gets hit with sugar just like it gets hit with alcohol or cocaine. You know, it's a dopamine stimulant. It's that pleasure center in our brain. So it can become really addictive just from a chemistry standpoint like that. You know, when you use this substance to keep getting your fix all the time, it doesn't have to be sugar, but sugar is easy and it's cheap and it's everywhere. You know, it's ubiquitous. You have to kind of go out of your way to go get narcotics, but junk food is everywhere.
And, oh yeah, tell me about it.
it's also socially acceptable. You know, if you've got a heroin problem, there's a social stigma to that. But if you eat bad food, that's sort of like nobody's got a problem with that. You know, there's no stigma attached to eating junk food. And I think the last thing, Marcus, and that is a really good question, actually, about why sugar is so addictive. I think the last big challenge with sugar and junk food in general is you have to eat. You
right.
know, you can quit alcohol, you can quit drugs, you can quit gambling, cold turkey, and never do any of that stuff again, but you got to eat. So anytime you're dealing with food issues as opposed to other substances, it adds an additional layer of difficulty.
Yeah, you are so right. We definitely got to eat, and that's one thing I love to do. So what I have found, though, you know, and a lot of people might, like, go back and forth with you about this, is that, like, you know, well, they'll say, damn, what about all the good sugars out there? You know, like fruit, you know, fruit, we need that for fructose, and dairy, you know, people, like, want to have that lactose. So what would you say to those people? You know, are we talking about, you know, these type of sugars too, or is just sugar period?
Well, technically, okay, let's, I don't want to get too complicated with the chemistry on this kind of stuff, but basically what I try to do in general, my big picture approach is I try to get people to eat real food, natural food. So you're going to get some sugar from carbohydrates like fruit. You're going to get some sugar from dairy if you eat dairy. And as long as your portions are reasonable, then that's, you know, part of a normal diet, and that's not anything to worry about. The problem is all the extra added sugars, you know, the processed stuff, your sweetened sodas, your junk food, your candies, your cookies. There's a lot of added sugar in a lot of boxed and packaged processed foods. So those are the kinds of sugars that add a lot of extra calories. They end up disrupting our natural hormone system that's tells you, like, when you've had enough to eat, the appetite control system gets disrupted from high fructose corn syrup and from artificial chemical sweeteners. So it really starts messing with the whole appetite control system in the brain. So it's challenging. So as a good general rule, you know, you're not going to find me telling people never. I'm not a black and white kind of person. So, you'll very seldom hear me use terms like never do this and always do that. Those types of all or nothing thinking really lead to just back and forth, this yo-yo dieting thing. So my approach is really about getting a solid foundation of natural eating and sensible foods. And then, of course, you're going to have your treats here and there, depending on what you like. I mean, ice cream is my favorite.
Oh, my too.
Yeah, but you know you don't eat a pint of it every day. It's a special treat, and you work it into your nutrition program in a sensible fashion. So you can always have the kinds of treats that you like, but you have to have a reasonable amount, and you have to go about it in the right way. That's the thing. People are a little bit surprised to find out that, you know, the guy who wrote Beating Sugar Addiction for Dummies will sometimes eat ice cream.
Yeah, exactly. So, man, you know, like, now I'm starting to feel a little bit less guilty now. So at first I said, I'm going to be in this interview just guilty, ready to go to the cross. But on that note, though, and you just mentioned some very awesome nuggets, man, and what stand out just in that last little bit, you said moderation, and that's so hard for people, especially, you know, in terms of, like, stress eating. So, what is stress eating to you, and can you give us an example of a typical stress eater?
Yeah, the typical stress eater, that's a really good question. The typical stress eater falls victim to what I call reactive eating instead of proactive eating. And so people get in trouble with stress eating when one of two things happen. If you don't have some kind of a nutrition plan in place for the day, like, you know what you're going to eat and approximately when, if you haven't planned stuff, then you're kind of at the mercy of whatever's lying around. And so you become reactive with your food. If you are working, say, in an office, right, if you don't have a healthy lunch that you brought with you, then you're at the mercy of whatever's lying around in the break room. And I'm guessing that people aren't bringing mixed green salad with grilled chicken or salmon into the break room. There's donuts, there's candy, there's Taco Bell, you know, whatever else, junk food that's lying around. So if you allow yourself to regularly be at the mercy of the reactive eating, then you're going to end up in trouble long term. Hey, I got something for you here, Dr. Marcus. I want to think about it.
Your
question has sort of sparked a big picture idea that I want to share with all the listeners.
Yeah, absolutely.
That sort of encompasses my main advice. So, if you're listening, write this down. If you remember anything from our talk today, write this one down. Whatever you do most of the time, that's what you're like.
Wow. Wow, that's so true.
It applies to every aspect of your life. Right now we're talking about nutrition and food behavior, but it also applies to your relationships. It applies to your work ethic. It applies to how you learn and how you interact with the world. Whatever you do most of the time, that's, you get the results of that. So if you don't like what you're getting, you have to change what you usually do. You have to change what's normal for you. And the reason these diets and detox plans don't work is because you do a thing for a while, you know, whether it's a smart thing or whether it's a ridiculous thing with, you know, the ant juice and cabbage diet or whatever, you know, if it's silly, whatever the thing is, then you quit doing that after a while because nobody can do that forever. And then you just go back to what you used to do. So the end result is you haven't changed anything because you haven't changed what's normal for you. So when I work with people, I start building habits and nutrition strategies that become normal over time. We work on little baby steps. Improve this. Let's improve that. Let's try this instead of that. You know, substitute this instead of that kind of thing. Make sure you do this for the next week. Pretty soon, these little improvements become normal. So 6 months later, you're eating totally different. You're losing weight. You feel great. You have lots of energy, but you don't feel like you're doing anything really that different. You're not stressed out about it. You're not on a thing.
Yeah.
You just behave differently. So if you don't like what your body is doing, you have to change what you usually do.
Absolutely. Man, you just really striking gold here in this interview right now, and we are just so grateful for you right now. And
well, you're very kind. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, you said something very important. You said you got to change what's normal. And for a lot of people, those comfort foods, you know, really, you know, is something they just, like, kind of put their hand on to stand upright and so that they are, you know, sometimes dragging it along as a crutch. So how do we stop it exactly? How do we stop?
Well, there are two things, man. You nailed it right there with the stress eating stuff, and that's exactly what people do. It's stress eating is an unconscious habit or reaction to something that is going on. I told people to write down that one thing that I said before. You might want to write this down, too. This is another thing. Here's another big one. Stress eating typically is a reaction to one of two circumstances. Circumstance number one is we have made up this imaginary story or this imaginary habit that eating junk food is somehow going to give us something that we want.
Right.
So let me take a typical example of a stress eating reaction. Things are crazy at work. You're having a horrible time. Your boss is breathing down your neck. You're feeling behind and overwhelmed, and you're scared you're going to get fired or whatever, and you are grabbing sugar, grabbing the cookies, right? Somebody's left cookies there. You're gobbling down cookies like there's no tomorrow. The unconscious behavior that we have all sort of taught ourselves with the stress eating thing is that those cookies are going to somehow make your life better. Right? So
right.
Here's your red flag. Here's your red flag for that. When the urge for junk food or stress eating hits, that's your red flag to pause for a moment and say, all right, what is it that I really want in this moment? If we go back to our previous example of the stressed out person at work, what that person probably wants is a feeling of control, right? Or peacefulness.
Right.
They're all stressed out. They're overworked. They're overwhelmed. They want peacefulness. They want control. They want a sense of everything's going to be okay. Cookies will not give you that.
No.
Right? Nothing that you shove in your mouth is going to give you that.
Exactly.
So that is a great example of learning how to break the stress eating habit is to pause for just a moment, and it only takes 5 seconds, and say, all right, I have the urge to grab something that's not good for me. I know it's not good for me, but I have this urge. What do I really want? Because it's not sugar. I want something else. So that's thing number one. Camp number two, behavior camp number two, is simply using food, in this case, junk food, as some kind of distraction. If you are feeling uncomfortable, whether you're overwhelmed and stressed or you're fearful, maybe you're lonely, maybe you're sad and really struggling with some personal things, whatever it is, whatever the uncomfortable emotions are, junk food can give you a 60-second distraction from that.
Mm. Wow.
So it's really easy if you're just feeling bad, you're feeling down, it's really easy to say, well, if I eat this pint of ice cream, that'll take me 3 or 4 minutes. So that's 3 or 4 minutes I can think of something else instead of how bad I feel. So that's another thing that stress eating is really common for. And actually, that whole distraction piece, if you've done any work around addiction in general, whether it's alcohol or drugs or gambling or whatever, that's really the distraction piece, and the medicating piece is really the core thing. So it doesn't matter what your substance is. Right now we're talking about food, but maybe some of the listeners are struggling with, you know, cigarettes or alcohol or drugs or whatever it is. You know, it's giving you a distraction against what's really going on inside.
Wow, I love that. You know, this is why we come to people like you, you know, to get some type of release from the stuff that holds us captive. And you know, these things, you know, you mentioned, you're hitting it right on the point here, feelings of control and the urges, the behavior that leads to using food as a distraction. You know, it's all short-term, you know, pleasure. And I want to ask you, you know, would you say that this type of eating behaviors is like a sign of anxiety, or and just what we're using?
Well, I think we all have worries. We all have anxieties and fears and things that don't feel good. The big question is, what do you do about that? Now, this goes back to my original statement of whatever you do most of the time, that's what you get. So if you have developed this habit, either consciously or unconsciously, that anytime you're feeling bad or feeling worried or fearful or upset, that you reach for food, you're going to need to build a different habit. And there are many ways to go about that. You know, that's kind of what I end up doing with folks is working with them on how to start to change these unconscious habits. A little bit of awareness goes a really long way. I think most people get in trouble with, you know, the stress eating and the junk food addiction, the sugar addiction, carbaholic stuff and comfort foods, whatever you want to call it. People get in trouble just because they have fallen into habits and they're not thinking. You know, it's reactive. And so what I am here to do is just remind people and teach them how to put a little more conscious, responsible decision-making into each and every moment when those moments come up. Because they come up all the time, right? Our eating decisions or not to eat, what to do. You know, every decision, it's like a river that's going by in front of you, right? It's a constant stream of decisions. So my goal for my clients and the people who are in my coaching group is to get most of the decisions right as they go by. You're going to miss some, and that's fine. But if you get it right 80% of the time, you're going to be fine. As long as your behaviors are moving you in the right direction, you're doing great. You're going to end up where you want to go eventually. I use a baseball analogy sometimes. You know, when you get up to bat, try to hit a single. You get a bunch, get a bunch of singles, you're going to win the game. If you keep hitting singles. And if you get up to bat and you try to swing for a home run every time, and then you just fall off the wagon and crash and burn every time you don't hit a home run, then, you know, you're going to struggle your whole life.
Awesome. You're so right. I love the metaphor there. And there's a lot of us who's striving to be that next Sammy Sosa in our very own lives. And, you know, with about 5 minutes left here, man, and I just, you know, repetition is so good. If you can offer any piece of advice, your best number one piece of advice to people who are trying to eat better and lose weight, what would you say?
The best advice, like the number one thing to do, is to be proactive and make sure that you're eating on purpose and not reactively. It's the conscious decision-making that will lead you towards a healthier body, a slimmer waistline, more energy, you know, all the good things that come from treating your body well. It's all about conscious intention. If you allow yourself to fall into the old habits of being reactive or using food or other substances, either as a distraction or pretending that that bag of cookies is going to make you peaceful, then you get in trouble because it's a false god, right? It can't help you.
Right.
It's not exactly going to give you what you need. So being proactive and making conscious, purposeful decisions around food is really the most important thing that people can do. There are planning sheets that I give my clients that really help them a lot. And you can just make your own, you know, on a sheet of paper. Right now, if you're listening to this recorded show, whenever we are finished, just take a piece of paper, take 5 minutes, and write down tomorrow's menu. What are you going to eat for breakfast and your snack? And what are you going to bring for lunch and maybe another snack? And what's for dinner tomorrow? And just be ready so that you have some kind of an intention around how you're going to feed yourself. People don't really need my input as far as what are good foods and what are not good for you, right? I mean, everybody right. knows that vegetables are better for you than French fries. I don't need to teach people that. What people really need help with is the behavior around eating. So when I tell people I'm a nutrition coach, they a lot of times will start asking complicated questions about, you know, protein and carbohydrate and fat macronutrient ratios, or they'll say, what about blank, you know, like fill in whatever food. Is that good or bad? And I really try to steer people away from, like, thinking about good foods and bad foods, and really look at overall behavior of what you do on a day-in and day-out basis. Remember my quote in the beginning, whatever you do most of the time, that's what you get. So if you make little baby steps improvements towards what is normal for you, and 6 months from now, or 12 months from now, or 20 years from now, you are so much better and so much healthier, and life is so much easier because you've made these little improvements along the way, and that has become normal. So you're not struggling with some diet or some program that you can't keep up with. It's got 15 different phases, and you can eat this with that, and you can't ever have this ever again, and that's all nonsense. And that doesn't change anything. So I'm all about making changes to what you usually do, building your new normal.
Wow. I love it, man. This has been a very informative interview. I have learned some things myself. I got my pen and paper ready to write down my menu for tomorrow. So,
I love it.
Man, you really have helped some people, including myself. And just last but not least, if we want to get in touch with you directly, what are some links? Where can we find you?
Yeah, my headquarters for this kind of stuff is the beatingsugaraddiction.com website, beatingsugaraddiction.com. I have loads of giveaways, free giveaways there for people. I've got a little stress eating handbooks and sugar addiction quizzes to give you for free. There's a lot of articles that I've written, some other radio and podcast interviews that I've done are posted there. So if you like what I have to say, drop me a note at beatingsugaraddiction.com. Introduce yourself and let me know what you're having trouble with.
Awesome. We greatly appreciate you, Dan, and it's been just an honor to be able to just bring on somebody who's such an expert as yourself to just share your wealth of knowledge to everybody. And we will be honored to have our show interview on there, on your website, too. That'd be great as well.
Absolutely.
So for those who have been listening, those who are replay viewers and listeners, excuse me, you can find more information about Dan as well as more information about the podcast show at transformyoubroadcast.com. His website will be posted on our directory, so you will not have any trouble at all being able to reach out to them. If you didn't hear what the website was, make sure you tune in to our live show, which is every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are available on all major podcast networks and stations and directories. So we're not hard to find, but once again, transform the letter U, broadcast.com. That's transformubroadcast.com. Thank you for joining in with us. Many blessings, peace, and lots of love. We'll be tuning in with you in the next episode.